We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim. Welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. So we're going to talk a little rugby in segment number two. The Bears at home for Parents Weekend, as they will host UCLA, a big match up at Witter Field beginning at 12:30. It's also on the Pac-12 networks. We'll talk with head coach Jack Clark in his 37th year seeking yet another national championship or two. I think they had 9 in the decade of the 2010s. And so new decade, new opportunities for the rugby squad. But first, we'll talk women's hoops with CJ West. CJ back in action this week after missing a few games with a concussion. What's it like having a concussion? What was it like for you?
You know, unfortunately, I've had a few in my career. My last one, I busted my 2 front teeth out, and I was out for more than the time that I was out now, and it was really bad. So this time wasn't that bad. I had a black eye. I had a cut above my eye. I tried to force myself to come back sooner, and then my trainers and my coaches were like, just be patient. Like, you need the rest. And I felt pretty good coming into this week, and I think I had a lot of rest during that week. But, yeah, it was tough. It was tough.
Yeah. I mean, is it dizziness or – and how does it affect, you know, going to school and doing that stuff?
Yeah, classes is hard. The lights and loud noises make you really sensitive. So trying to focus on the screen, like the PowerPoints in class is hard. Trying to focus in general is hard. You get headaches and stuff. I wear glasses and contacts, so that kind of messes you up. Driving, you're kind of out of it a little bit. So the symptoms are also kind of.
Were you able to come back against Washington State? Had 7 offensive rebounds there, and then went over to Seattle and got the victory over the Huskies. Get that first conference win. Although it was a rather hectic final couple of minutes in that game, you guys were sitting on a pretty good lead there, and here come the Huskies. What was that like?
It was tough. One of our goals, Charmin mentioned to us, like, February 1st, it's a new month. Scratch everything that happened. And we were in the mindset of, like, we don't want to make this pass. We don't want to turn it over. We don't want to do something wrong because we don't want to get taken out. We don't want to take this shot because we don't want to miss it. And so that's how we were playing, I think, in the month of January, just really tense, we were really, really hard on ourselves, beated ourselves up for everything, weren't really that positive. We were able to encourage each other, but everyone was just in their own head. So I think our mindset of February 1st, dropping everything, just be loose, have fun, still being focused and everything, I think that really helped us a lot.
Got the victory in overtime over the Huskies. You had a nice game, 22 points, I believe it was. One more rebound. One more rebound, right?
Yes, one more rebound. I don't know. I thought I had more rebounds than I did, but apparently not.
We had a player in high school, after every game, the first thing he did is, how many rebounds do I have? How many rebounds? It's like, you had enough. You know, we won the game, right? That's all that really mattered. What was it like? What was it like in the locker room for you guys after you got the win?
It felt really good. You know, this program, we're very responsible with what we do. And so everyone's kind of on different diets and things, trying to stay healthy. We meet with a nutritionist every week, just talk about things. And they've taken away French fries for us. So we go out to dinner and we can't have French fries. And so that's been really tough for us. And then after this win, the first thing Sharman said when we got in the locker room was, you guys are getting French fries today.
That was your reward.
Right. So we were very excited. It gave us a lot of energy, a lot of confidence, a lot of momentum. So hopefully it carries on out.
Yeah, because you've been in some close games that just weren't able to close out. A Colorado game here. I can think of the Washington game here that you were right there. So maybe sometimes you get the first one and it does build on itself. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the French fries because on the charters for football, I'm going to get myself in trouble here, I know. I mean, they used to have different food than we have now and a different nutritionist, but we used to have these really, maybe I shouldn't mention the name of the place where we got the chicken sandwiches. But we used to have those, and man, it's like, I look forward to that. And then all of a sudden, here's the fruit. I know it's good for you, right? And here's all this good stuff. And I'm like, fill me up kind of deal, right?
Yes, that's how it is. I think we've kind of gotten used to it, but sometimes when we're like, oh, I just want a burger and fries. We've just been having a little bit of withdrawals. But we got French fries and dessert, so.
A couple of years after a football win at Oregon State, we actually, on the way back from Corvallis to the Eugene Airport, stopped in Junction City, the home of Justin Wilcox, the head football coach, and we all got dilly bars, okay? Mm-hmm. And so that was the treat. Talk about, I mean, nutrition's a big part of it. I just was up at the football facility, and Jordan Kanachik, who played for the Bears last year and played for the Carolina Panthers this year, was always big on diet. You have to eat the right stuff. Your intake, you know, helps you in so many ways. Tell us, you know, what a typical diet is for a Cal women's basketball player.
Right. Our nutritionist is kind of doesn't like when we use the word diet because it kind of sounds bad and negative. I still use it. It's just simple to understand. But honestly, the way we eat is really different on everyone. Some people are working on weight loss. Some people are working on weight gain. Some people just want to work on being leaner and more muscular. So for me, I think my biggest transition was my physical transition from my sophomore to junior year. My nutrition's went from like, I was eating really badly. I would have like one meal a day at 6 o'clock, but I would like not stop eating after 6 o'clock. And it would be like the worst food possible, pizza, hamburgers, fries, soda. So first I had to work on eating 3 meals a day. Then I had to work on making sure those meals were healthy. And then for the same thing that goes for everyone is you have to have a balance of when you have a really, really hard workout, you have to get the right refueling to recover after practice. And then if you have an off day and don't have practice, you still need to kind of be aware of what you're eating and you haven't worked out all day, so you don't want to be too heavy. So for me, it's a lot of greens because I don't really like fruit that much. I hope I don't get backlash for that. But so for me, it's a lot of greens and no fried foods or anything. So
you didn't eat breakfast? You would not eat breakfast? You would wait until the evening?
Yeah. So with classes and practice and everything, this is an excuse, but like, I don't have time. You have time to get food, but I just was running around everywhere. So I would like drink coffee or something in the morning and I might have a granola bar or something right before practice. And then after practice, I'd eat a little bit and then I'd go home and like order food or like go drive to Wendy's or something. Uber Eats, Postmates, DoorDash. So yeah, it was really bad, but I am a lot 10 times better than that now.
And not eating for the day before practice. I mean, have you noticed a difference now in your energy at practice?
Yes. I think like when you don't eat, you're and you have to do an intense workout, you're dizzy, you're dehydrated, you have no energy. It's hard for your body to recover. So you're sore all the time and you're at risk for injury. And so I could feel all of those things when I wasn't eating very well, but I kind of just was like, eh, whatever. And then once I did started eating right, I saw the difference in how I was performing. And I was like, okay, I have to keep this up if I want to perform well.
I think that's one of the biggest changes that high school athletes have going into college is the diet part of it. There's a lot of other things, you know, classes, you're on your own, this, that, or the other. But oftentimes when you're on your own, you kind of just eat when you want, whatever you want to eat. I think that's one of the real benefits that a place like Cal has, because they can really help you form a dietary pattern as much as anything else. And it pays off big time. You can tell the difference. You can see the body, you know, shapes change throughout the course of the years.
100%. In high school, I didn't really think about it at all. I ate whatever I wanted. And my parents are really healthy. Like, they live very healthy lifestyles. So what they cooked at home was very healthy. But other than that, you know, I wasn't home often. Like, I was out with friends, out at practice, road trips and stuff. So I would eat whatever I wanted. Didn't really care. But then when I got here, I realized the connection between what you're eating and performance. At first, I thought, oh, it's just working out and getting shots up. Like, that's it. So really kind of learning the pros and cons of having a good diet was, like, mind-blowing almost.
It's a lot easier to work off a granola bar than it is a cheeseburger. Exactly. I can tell you that. Exactly. Hey, tell me, you mentioned your parents. Your dad was a great football player, Bakersfield College. Your mom in the Hall of Fame over there. You got two siblings that have been into basketball. What was it like growing up with practices and games and different sports? What was that like at home?
It was a lot, honestly. I played volleyball and basketball. My middle sister played volleyball, basketball, and ran track. And my oldest sister, who's a lot older than us, played basketball. And we had, sometimes me and my middle sister would have practice at the same time. I played on a club team in LA. So I went to LA 3 times a week to practice. And then our tournaments would be kind of all over the country. So me and my mom would leave right after school, or I'd sometimes have to leave school early to make it to practice. And sometimes it'd be me and my dad. So they kind of had to switch off based on their work schedules. And then my sister also played on a team in LA for her senior year of high school. So she went, but kind of not as often. So we were just both traveling everywhere. We didn't really get a lot of family time. One thing that we did have a lot of family time on is training. So me and all my sisters would go to the gym and train together. My parents would come and just like rebound for us and stuff and play defense on us. My dad's a big guy. Yeah, so we were just bumping around him all day. People think that it's really competitive. Like most of the time with siblings, you're really competitive. Like you play one-on-one, but since me and all my sisters are different positions, it wasn't really that competitive. We just pushed each other to be better all the time.
So with your parents and your sisters, you actually had a team. You guys should have had a little, like, a daughter, a kind of thing. And you could have had a really good team because you'd had a couple of really good power forwards and a center too, right?
I know. My middle sister could have been the point guard. Yeah. My mom would probably be a shooting guard. She has no idea what basketball means. She's gotten a lot better now, but she was a track star. And on her side of the family, basketball wasn't really a thing. So she really just has no clue. So she just learns from like what we tell her. So I think now she knows enough that she'd be like a really good 3-point shooter. My dad, of course, would be a center. I could be a forward, or we could switch. And my other sister could be a 2 or 3 and like, you know, set screens, bring the ball up. So
I think that's a good concept actually for a tournament, you know, local tournament, to have a family tournament.
Oh, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. And you guys would have more than a leg up on most of the competition in Bakersfield. That's for sure. Yeah. Talk about, you know, you've always been interested in art and you want to do something with art after you graduate. Where did that passion come from?
So my oldest sister, Nicole, she loved art in college. She took a bunch of classes on it. She made her own paint, made her own canvases and everything. Then she had a cardiac arrest in one of her swim classes and she, like, they pronounced her dead, but her physical trainer came and like wouldn't stop doing CPR, and that ended up saving her. And then she was on life support for like 2 weeks and woke up, and it was amazing. But after that, she couldn't do art. Like, she had to learn how to write, walk, eat on her own all over again, and painting just never really got back to her. So then I started painting with her to kind of try and help her, you know, then I loved it. It was great for me to express my emotions without talking about it, you know. So that helped me a lot. And then I realized, you know, I'm kind of getting good at it now. Past 2 years, I've been working with kids in art. And that just really sparked such a great joy in me. And I have a really strong passion for it. And so I want to keep that going.
I understand you'd like to do some kind of a nonprofit to help educate and give young people an opportunity to express themselves through art.
Yes. I learned that if I had someone to kind of push me in the art direction, or at least tell me earlier that art is a way that you can express yourself, I think I would be a lot different of a person I am now, or some of the struggles I've had in the past, I probably would be able to avoid. But yeah, I want to start my own nonprofit. I want to work with middle schools and high schools and help mentor and counsel kids on how to express themselves through art therapy and creative writing.
And creative writing as well. Yeah. So when you talk about art, that can take a number of different forms, right? I mean, there can be actual paintings, drawings, portraits, etc. Anything in particular that you were attracted to?
I love painting like side profiles of people's faces. I've in the past like 2-3 years, I've also been obsessed with like buildings. So like the Campanile, or I recently I just did a portrait of my house because I missed home. So yeah, sometimes I just find random pictures of houses. Sometimes I'll be waiting for class to start and draw the building that I'm about to go into. But recently I've been really into like houses and architecture.
You're one of those people we see every once in a while. There's like a you know, sketch pad and a whole thing along the side. And they're, it's like, what are they doing? Right?
I know. Yeah. I've used to not do that at all, but I've really found that it actually kind of helps me to learn more. So
how do you go about doing what you want to do? How do you start a nonprofit? And what has Cal and the education you've gotten here helped you facilitate that?
So Charmin has a big role in this. We've had a few career connection events with our team. Mm-hmm. So they kind of ask us what our interests are, and they bring a bunch of professionals from our interests to talk to us. So I've met two really amazing CEOs of very successful nonprofits in the Bay Area, and they both have really different stories, but they're both mentoring me on starting my own nonprofit. One of them gave me a contact to a fiscal sponsor, which kind of takes care of budgeting, insurance, taxes and stuff. And then another one of my mentors helped me get with a legal consulting group. So right now I'm in the whole process of getting the rights to my name, getting all the taxes filled out, which is just so complicated. But this is, once I get past this process, I think it'll be smooth sailing and a lot more fun once I get past this process. But I'm working on websites, and I have a lot of money saved. So hopefully I'm good with that. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, step by step. This legal tax part is really complicated. I still honestly have no idea what I'm doing. But Cal has definitely given me a lot of opportunities to get help on it. I have my two CEO mentors. I talked to Bob Haas from the business school, Steve Etter, who works with our team from the business school. One of our donors, she'll like look up articles for me and send them to me. So being at Cal, you have a lot of support on literally anything that you could possibly think of.
Well, it's obvious you have the passion for it. If you got the passion, as they say, if there's a will, there's a way, and you'll get it done. All right, this week you've got USC in Friday night at 7 o'clock, UCLA Sunday at 2. The Bruins have had a really good season. Trojans, women of Troy, have struggled a little bit, but you know, it's the Southern California schools, okay? And Bakersfield is kind of in between the North and the South, so tell us what this weekend's going to be like.
Right. Sometimes, I mean, it's obvious we have a rivalry with Stanford, but I feel like second to Stanford, our rivalry is the LA schools. Because like I played club basketball in LA, and so I know a lot of the players, and more than half of our team is from California. So we know everyone on a personal level. So not only is there that personal kind of rivalry of just us being friends with the other team, but it's also like, you know, we really want to beat you guys because of that. I think every time I play the LA schools, I play against my friends. But there's just always this edge that we have where we're just like, you know, if you guys win, it means this. If we win, it means this. It's really personal. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a rivalry. I mean, you know, you got UCLA, USC, it's always a rivalry, no matter what the sport is. Hey, final question. I don't think I've ever asked you this. What does and J stand for?
Oh, so my full name is Celeste Joy West. So CJ Celeste Joy.
That's a beautiful name,
yeah,
Celeste Joy.
I usually tell people that my parents thought I was going to be a boy, so CJ stands for Charles Jr.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Well, CJ, we appreciate you taking the time. I love talking to you. You get great passion for both athletics and academics as well. Stay healthy. That's the big thing. Good luck this week against USC at 7, UCLA Sunday at 2, and continued success.
Yes, thank you so much.
Joining me now is Jack Clark, entering his 37th year as the headmaster here of Cal Rugby. Jesus, right? You're shaking your head. Time does fly by, and it goes faster as we get less hair on the top of our head. I can say that for sure. And also the 25th year of Witter Field, because we're here in the Doc Hudson Fieldhouse talking to Jack about rugby, and they're kind of in the swing of things vis-a-vis the 15s. I already had the 7s. In the fall and won the Pac-12 championship, now in the 15s, a couple of weeks on the road, and now back home this week for a parents' weekend. I'm sure if nothing else, it's good to be back home.
Yeah, it's great. It'll be good to see a lot of parents coming in for the weekend. And you know, the Bruins pushed us early in the year. They gave us a really tough outing. They were winning at halftime. And we were able to pull away in the second half. So they're a good team. So we're looking forward to a good game.
I kind of got an interesting schedule. It's a doubleheader, actually, this week because Cal Maritime Academy is also going to be on the pitch as well. First match, though, with UCLA, 12:30. If you can't make it out, it's also on the Pac-12 network. So it's good to see the Pac-12 getting involved with rugby and giving people that are not in the area an opportunity to watch the Bears in action. As you mentioned, you beat UCLA 20-19 in the semis of the Pac-12s, and then Arizona 24-7 to win the championship. But now the 15s. Before we actually talk about the season, I want to go back a couple of months. You've got a new pitch out here, and reading up a little bit on it, it's 90% like made of coconut. Did I read that correctly? So not only is it a really good pitch, it must really smell good too, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's no little black rubber tires anymore. And yeah, it's fantastic. It's a new surface. Mm-hmm. We're really pleased with it. It plays as well as any natural grass surface you could ever imagine. So the cleat in, cleat out kind of athletic performance of it is just fantastic. So, yeah, we're excited to be home, and we spend a lot of time out there on that surface. So we love that it's organic and good.
How often do you play on artificial versus natural turf during the course of the year?
Well, more and more, right? I mean, it's the new way. We were in San Diego State this past weekend, and we were on a synthetic surface, not the best synthetic surface, I might add. So we're seeing it more and more, but about half the time we're on natural grass and versus synthetic.
Well, it's a great-looking field, that's for sure, and a wonderful place to watch rugby, and no question about it. Come out this week to watch the Bears in action with the UCLA coming to town. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, the sevens in the fall, because it's an interesting scheduling configuration. As you play the sevens, the conference championship is in the fall. Then you switch to the 15s for the regular season, which is what we've seen most of the time in the history of this sport. But with the Olympics now having the sevens, it was a good idea to have the collegiate teams to get ready for that, and also the USA to get ready for that by having the sevens. You go 15s now, and then you go back for the championships in the sevens after the 15s are over. Tell us a little bit about your 15 squad.
We're a pretty good team. We've been racked with a season-ending injury at some really important positions. So, we've been able to absorb them, I think, pretty well at this point, and that's a real credit to the players, who some of which are playing in their second position, just trying to help the team in any way they can. But I don't know that we can absorb a lot more. We'll need to stay kind of injury free from this point forward, I think, in order to really have an honest crack to go deep into the postseason.
So the Bears, as we mentioned, in the 15s at this time of the year. Let's talk a little bit about your schedule, because you had the first three weekends on the road. Now you're going to be back home. You don't have a lot of home dates this year, but the home dates are pretty intriguing when you look at the schedule. Tell us a little bit about the schedule.
Well, you know, obviously big weekend here with Pac-12 networks in with UCLA this Saturday. And then you push forward to homecoming on February 22nd. We've got the Thunderbirds, University of British Columbia in town, and you know, we'll return that trip the following week up to Vancouver. And then, you know, we're really pleased to host a doubleheader between, you know, well, what, including us, four of the best teams in the country on March 7th. We've got St. Mary's is going to play the Naval Academy. And then we, Cal plays Army, West Point, in the second game of the day. So it's a big March 7th date for us. And again, you know, as with homecoming and as with the doubleheader, we got Pac-12 networks here. So we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about Army and Navy. I mean, we know about St. Mary's. My kids are right over the hill, and they've been really good for a while now. Tell us a little bit about the Naval Academy and the cadets from Army.
Intercollegiate team at Army. They're very good. They're coached by one of our former players, Matt Sherman, and you know, we take a lot of pride in Matt's career and what he's been able to do. And you know, they're what you'd expect. They're fit, they're disciplined, and they're tough. You know, they're men. And same with the Naval Academy. You know, a bunch of guys are going to take their commission in the Marine Corps, and you know, they're both really physical teams. Their rugby's pretty straightforward, but you know, it's kind of that old thing that you know what they're going to do, they know what they're going to do, but you know, it's hard to stop them.
Yeah. Kind of like in football as well. You know what they're going to run. It's just try to stop the dang triple option. That's for sure. And we'll actually maybe have a chance to do that in football because the Pac-12 has announced an arrangement with the Independence Bowl that will have the service academies involved. And so it could happen in football as well. You also have, when I walked up here, I mean, you notice, you know, Witter Field, but you've had a restoration of the big gate. You've had a restoration of the bench that's outside, the gym truck, Cullen bench as well. I mean, just when I walk in here, it's like a shrine to me. And this is a unique place on campus, the Doc Hudson Fieldhouse. I just love coming here because the tradition goes back 138 years. I mean, this is the 138th year of Cal rugby. That is mind-boggling to think of the 1800s. That sport was being played here, and to walk in here, but to see that restoration out front just adds a little sparkle to the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to us to be, you know, good custodians of all those traditions, and but also good custodians of the stuff, you know, the gym truck Cullen bench. You know, that the refurbishing that bench was, you know, some alumni said, hey, we're going to look after Truck's bench. And it was just so fantastic. And of course, another good Cal man comes out of nowhere to do it gratis. And so, yeah, Witter Rugby Field, named after the Witter family of, fathers and sons and cousins and brothers, that have all played here. And the Jim Truck Cullen bench and the Doc Hudson Fieldhouse, Doc coached here for 38 years. It's you know, we feel duty bound to look after, you know, all of this stuff and the traditions.
I think the tradition is important in this sport at this university than it is to any other program in any other spot of the country. I really believe that. It's a wonderful thing to see. And you mentioned Jim Truck Cullen. I mean, here was a guy that was in a couple of wars representing the United States, World War II. Then comes here to Cal and plays for Pappy on the football team, a couple of Rose Bowl teams, and then goes back and is in the Korean War as well. So a legendary figure in Cal rugby. All right, coming up this summer, of course, every 4 years, we got the Olympic Games. So what can we expect from the USA and the rest of the world in Japan?
Well, we'll... I mean, you know, barring injury, we'll have one of the best players in the Olympics in Danny Barrett, representing the United States. They're in the circuit play right now around the world. They came in third and won a bronze just recently. So, I mean, they're in the hunt for a medal. Everything's got to go just right, as you know. But it wouldn't surprise me at all to see the U.S. medal.
Of course, Cal, very representative over the years with the U.S. teams. You've had a lot of guys that, have made that next level move. And then you mentioned earlier, Jack, about coaches around the country. And I'm not going to ask you necessarily how many, but it's great to see the program have that expansion around the country and around the world. And quite frankly, this has been the epicenter here in the United States for a long, long time with not only you, but Doc, everybody that preceded you as well. So just great representation, not only on the national team, but now in the collegiate world as well.
Yeah, we're proud of that. We're proud of the guys that have gone on to be international rugby players and to, you know, play for their country in international play, Olympics or otherwise. And even guys that have gone on to officiate, to be good rugby referees at the international level. And then, yeah, it's really gratifying to have so many of our former players now coaching in the collegiate ranks and also the scholastic ranks. Great to have them giving back to the game, and we know they're doing a good job and they're helping to grow the sport. So it's pretty fantastic.
I'm going to relate a story. I was covering the 1980 Olympic trials track and field in Eugene, and there were two sprinters from Auburn, Harvey Glantz, who was like the fifth year senior and a veteran in the 100 meters. And then the young pup, Stanley Floyd, who was like a freshman or a sophomore. So we did a story with those two guys. And I asked Stanley Floyd, the younger of the two, I said, what have you learned from Harvey Glantz, the senior member of the track team? Oh, he's taught me everything. He's been great. He's been a wonderful mentor, this, that, and the other. And then I asked Harvey Glantz, what have you tried to pass on to Stanley Floyd? And he said, I taught Stanley Floyd everything he knows, but not everything I know. So with the guys that are coaches, do you have that same attitude?
No, I think I'm trying to, I probably did early on. Okay. But before Pete Newell passed, I had a great, great lunch with Pete Newell. And at one point, he tells me this great story about, him helping, if you will, the Ohio State team play defense against his team. And when it was over, they'd lost that game, and it was such a sad story. I said, Coach, do you have any regrets? And he said, Jack, you're either a teacher or you're not. And I never felt so small in my life, actually. But, I've tried to do the same at this point. We're pretty open. We invite anyone that wants to come into our camp to come into our camp. We're happy to share what we think we know and to learn from them as well, And on this campus right now, we're really in a, in my time here, one of the most golden eras in the fact that we have a lot of coach education, a lot of sharing right now, where our best coaches are on in a very formal way. We're learning from each other and we're sharing and just different disciplines, different ways to do things. It's a really good spot right now.
It is a good spot, and it's wonderful to have somebody with your experience and expertise to pass along some of those tidbits to some of the younger coaches here at Cal. Jack, as always, we appreciate your time. Good luck this week with the Bruins. Again, it's going to be on the Pac-12 Network. We'd love to see everybody out here. 12:30 against UCLA, and best of success the rest of the season as well.
Great, Todd. Thanks.
Jack Clark, rugby coach, the Bears in action this weekend here at home. That wraps it up for this week's show. We appreciate you listening. Of course, in basketball, we'll be on the road against Colorado on Thursday night and at Utah, Salt Lake City. It's going to be cold over there, but you can listen on the radio and stay warm. That game will be Saturday evening with Rich Cellini and myself. Until then, I'm Todd McKim. Thank you very much for listening. And as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.